If you have your Bible, hopefully you do, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Last week we were in Mark chapter 6. And we talked about seeing God in the midst of the storm. The dictionary defines a storm to be violent weather, heavy rain or snow, and strong winds. But it also means a sudden, strong attack. How many of you realize that we, our nation, our church, and our home is under attack?
Amen.
I mean, if you don't, the church needs to wake up and be vital in these days. We've slept too long. We've let the enemy come in. We've let religion take over, and we've been asleep for a while. But I'm telling you, we need to wake up and realize that there are more of us than there are of them. Thank you for those weak amen. There are more of us than they are them. We got angels. We got angels of God around us. So we have to recognize, even though we're being attacked in this storm, that God is with us. Can I hear amen? We are definitely in the midst of a storm. But this morning I want to talk about being anchored in the storm. Even though we're in a storm, we don't want to be blown away by the storm. We want to be in the right place at the right time, anchored in God. Here in Mark chapter 4, let's start with verse 35 through verse 39. Verse 35, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them," this is Jesus, "let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." I'm not going to keep you all day, but I want to keep you a little bit today. I want to give you six things that will anchor you in this storm. Six things. First one, whenever you get a divine order, expect demonic opposition. God gave us a divine order of breakthrough this year. He spoke it to us very, very strong. He spoke to us as this would be a year of breakthrough.
Amen.
A word from God. Anytime you get a word from God, there will be opposition. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
You know, the devil's not going to step back and say to us, "Wow, y'all got a word from God. I think I'll just get out of the way for this year. And I'll just get out of the way and let you just break through in your life and have a good old grand time." How many of you know the devil does not do that?
Right.
He brings opposition. Look at verse 35. "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them," this is Jesus, "let us pass over unto the other side." Look at verse 7. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Understand, just because you get a word from God, breakthrough year, that you're not going to have opposition. It's not because you've done something bad, you've missed it. It's just the way it is. Anytime you get an order from heaven, there will be demonic activity over that word. The devil wants to steal your word. You know, what's amazing to me, when we get opposition, we just act like, you know, what's going on? We're not really, really, really up on what the devil wants to do. I mean, we get a word from God, do this, do that, then opposition comes and we wonder, Lord, what's happening? How come I'm having such a hard time? Because you got a word from God.
Yeah.
My daddy used to say this, if the devil ain't working on you, he's got you.
That's right.
And if you're doing something for God, going somewhere for the Lord, you're looking to be be coming out of something, you can bet your bottom dollar, the moment you begin to go your direction with God, there is a demonic force that surrounds you. To try to steal, kill, and destroy what God is beginning to do in your life. So don't think it's strange if you're sitting here today and you're going through some difficulties. It's the year of breakthrough. So if it's the year of breakthrough, it'll be the year of break-in by the devil. He'll try his best to knock us down, to clutter our lives, to cause us to stop going God's way. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Let me bring it on down here. You stood before God. Many people here married. You stood before God and the preacher. And you said to God, the preacher, and whoever was there, I do. She said, I do. So I guess you think because you said, I do, he said, I do, that everything's going to be rosy all your marriage life. There'd be no problems. I mean, we got it made now. We did the right thing. We've been living together 10 years, but we got saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're teaching Sunday school. What in the blankety blank's going on? You know, some people ain't got quite all saved, so I didn't fill it in. You fill it in. What in the world happened? You got a word from God. You did something godly. When you do something godly, there's a demonic force that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's part of the way it is.
Amen.
As soon as Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, the verse said, the storm arose.
Come on. Come on. That's good.
See, we're on this song and everything, and you got to hook in with the Spirit because there is a remnant. There's always a remnant of intercessors, a remnant of people of God that are violently praying and violently worshiping God for a breakthrough of our nation, our home, our churches. We are in a storm, but we, by faith, believe that we can go over to the other side. But we got some forces to contend with. It's all right. Fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
It ain't how many times you get knocked down. It's don't quit.
That's right. Don't quit.
Yeah. Long you in there, you're still in the game.
Yeah.
Get down, get up.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You ought to be when we're going down, we looking back up.
That's right.
That's right. Tell somebody, I'm not giving up, caving in,
quitting.
The devil's not going to step aside and let you have anything godly without a fight.
Amen. Thank
you. I've been in a pretty long time. Today, 29 years ago today, at 3 to 4, somewhere in between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, July the 4th, 1981, the Lord saved me dying on the pavement. I had put some gasoline on an ant bed, caught a fire. I ran. My wife came out. I was burning up just like a tree. She saved my life. She pushed me down. I spent 48 days in the hospital between life and death. Didn't know what would happen to me. But 29 years ago, thank God I got free. It's really amazing that I got free on July the 4th. Free independence of our nation and free independence of the devil. But thank God I knew, because I've been in church all my life, that there was the devil wasn't happy about me getting born again. Right. I like to went crazy. They thought they was going to put me in I have to put me in the nut house. I mean, the enemy was telling me I was going to hell, and I just experienced the flames of hell, the torment of pain for years. And you can't see it today because God has been so good to me.
Amen. Yeah.
But I have scars, and I had scars. I looked like I'd never be right. They said, you'll never play the guitar anymore. You'll never be able to work. But hallelujah. God is a good God. God is a good God. And ever since that day, they've been the Lord speaking to me. Let's go, Michael. Let's go to the other side. Let's do this. Let's do that. But you know what? The devil hadn't stopped trying to stop me. I don't understand these. I just have to tell you, right, I don't understand how when you get a word from God, you don't understand with that word, that precious word that God spoke to you or gave you that order to do this or do that. It's not going to be an easy task. It never is. That they're going to be an enemy fight you tooth and nail all the way to the end of your breakthrough, all the way to the end of doing what God called you to do. There'll always be something popping up. That's what I said. I've been in long enough to know he still pops up. Crazy, crazy, crazy. That's part of the process. Part of the of what goes on. There will be opposition when you get an order from God.
Amen.
Well, I thought I'd get a breakthrough, you know, the first week. You still in the game? You still at church? You still believe in God? You still pray? You still ask the Lord. You talk to God. That's what it's all about, talking to God.
Amen.
You're still in the process of your breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. The devil, write it down, is not going to step aside and welcome your success. He's not going to lay off your money if you're a giver. You might as well be ready to give by faith. It's always been by faith. Amen. If you're out to go preach and start a church or do anything else, you can bet your bottom dollar that the devil's not going to step aside. Demonic forces are not going to step aside and let it be an easy task for you.
I really
back off from people who don't have any opposition. Especially when they say the Lord told me to do something, and, oh, it's just working just perfect. Then I look at my life and said, I must be out of the will of God. God, this is not perfect. Never is.
Right.
That's why it's good sometimes to take a vacation, to get out of the fight a little moment. You know, get you some rest, get your mind straight, eat a lot, feel bad because you ate too much. Just be a little worldly there, you know. Don't go get drunk. Just eat till you get fat. Then come back. And to get in the fight.
Amen.
Just get back in where you got off. Out. Opposition is part of it. Don't think it's strange when the enemy attacks. Number two, the second thing that will help you anchor yourself in this storm is when he gives you the order, take him with you as you go. Now that might seem elementary. Take him with you as you go. But I don't know about you. I have went first and called him to come with me. I started four churches along the way. And I'm not saying all of them without the will of God. I learned something in all of them. But I've had some times that I took off and then said, Lord, you're coming with me. Got off somewhere with the will of God, doing the will of God, and God just holding back. And, you know, it's tough. And there are sometimes, I tell you this, if the horse is dead,
yeah.
He ain't got no life at all. He ain't breathing, he ain't eating. If he's dead, get off the horse. There are times you took off without God and it's dying, kill it. Let it go. But there are times God gives you a word. You know he does. And he gives you an order, like breakthrough. And all hell breaks loose in the storm coming because you're trying to get yourself in order to walk out into what God's called you to do. And all hell breaks loose. Then you got to recognize it's not because you miss God. It's because you're really in the will of God.
Yes.
But make sure in that will of God that he's in the boat with you.
Amen.
Take him with you. Look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, Jesus, even as he was in the ship. Take him with you. You'd be surprised how many people say, the Lord gave me a new job, and they don't take him on the job with them. You know what taking the Lord on the job with you is? Work as unto the Lord. I don't care if you hate it, you despise it, as long as you're there, you work unto the Lord. And if you work unto the Lord will move you out of there with something better.
Right.
Take the Lord with you on your journey.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't get the order and run off and forget. You get the order, you say, Lord, come on, we got to go. Make sure He's with you.
Amen.
Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. If the Lord's with me, I have all I need. And I can do the task He called me to do if He's in the boat with me. If He ain't in the boat with you, go back to the port, get Him in the boat, and go forth. You ought to know by now if you know the Lord's with you or not. Anybody ever know when He wouldn't? I know He never leaves you, but I'm talking about with you. He's in you, but I mean beside you. You're helping you do the task. It's different when He's helping you, and it's different when He's not helping you. Always make sure the Lord is with you wherever you go. Take Him in your marriage. Take Him on the job. Take Him on the vacation trip. You know, there's some people go on a vacation trip and I'm going to cool it all. I'm just going to leave God at the church and I'm going to do all the things I want to do. And when I get back to church, I pick Him up. You better take Him with you.
Yeah.
I've been on some trips and I left them at home. I know I'm the only one. Went with the wrong people. Went to the wrong place. And was so glad when I got back home. Come on now. I remember one time we went to Florida and we went down there and, you know, we'd all been taught it was wrong to mix bathe, so we had no bathing suits. We had to wear pants to go in the ocean. You know, blue jeans. Religious. That's just as bad. I'm telling you, religion is worse than, I won't say being lost. Lost without God is a horrible thing. But religion is close. Jesus said, you know, you have made the word of God non-effect, not because you're going out and committing sin.
That's right.
He said, you made the word of God non-effect because you have done it through your traditions, what your religious thinking mind, traditions.
Right.
I mean, we got ready and went on that trip and the kids we were so happy. We got down there and we found the largest water slide we could find. In Florida, going to Florida. So we pulled over that day and we got out and we all, I think we did have the kids in bathing suit, but me and Penny looked like a Jesus only crowd. Culottes and blue jeans. And Daddy commenced to show off and he goes up on the tallest water slide there is. I mean, it was way up there. And Penny and the kids are down there. They want to see Daddy come down the slide. So I sit down on that thing and I couldn't go nowhere. Blue jeans don't slide. True story. So being the wisdom man that I have, I said, I'll just stand up and walk off this thing. Penny after it was over, said, you didn't see that woman hollering at you? I mean, Lord, she was down about a half a mile away, a little light, telling me, don't get up, don't get up, sit down, don't get up. So I got up in the name of Jesus and fell over on one side, fell over on the other side, all the way down that slide. I broke all the ribs. They had to tote me out of the park. Penny couldn't get lay down on the bed. If somebody touched the bed, I'd scream and holler. I mean, hell, all because of my religious thinking. All in the name of Jesus. Take Him with you. The trip is a lot better if you take the Lord with you. Can I hear amen? Hallelujah. Some of the most important words you'll ever tell God is, I need you.
Amen.
Tell Him that often. I need you, Lord. I know your word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Well, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Nothing. Can't accomplish a thing. I, Michael Merritt, have messed anything up without the Lord. Yeah, that's Penny. I know. Amen. Moses had a divine revelation of this in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. Listen to what Moses said. And he said unto God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses was given a divine order to take children of Israel to the promised land. But Moses said, God, if you don't take us in, we ain't going. That's what you ought to have. If God ain't with me, I ain't budging.
Amen.
That's right. Thus, charismatics. You got ants in our pants. We can hardly sit through a service if we ain't foaming at the mouth. Y'all quiet now. I don't want to make y'all dead. You know what I mean. Hollering, don't even know what we're hollering at. Anybody ever know what I've been in service? You can't hear what the preacher's saying. Everybody's hollering. What did he say? They turn around. I don't know, but it must have been good. A bunch of noise, no substance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
If we're going to be anchored in the storm, we got to make sure the Lord is in our boat with us.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a good thing. How many times I've went somewhere, you know, and did something without the Lord, and it was horrible. And you know what? They're doors. Listen, I'm talking about supernatural things. See, I was telling my wife the other day or somebody, I said, we just don't really think this thing is, our journey is supernatural. I mean, a Christian journey. Think about it. You're not traveling with the president. You're not traveling with the Blow Joe or anybody else. You're traveling with God Almighty.
Yeah.
Some of our life be lives of supernatural occurrences. And, you see, if you got God with you and you can't get through the door, you just turn around and say, He's with me.
Yes,
they got to let God go through. And if He goes through, you go right behind Him. Put your hand on His back. Move on in that door. There are doors you cannot open. But there are doors God can swing open. Hallelujah. You can't get to that breakthrough without Him with you. The doors are closed on you. They've been closed on you. Some of you have been sitting here all your life like you are. And you know you can't get through that unless you got divine help from on high. And it's available to you.
Yes.
Our life should be super duper supernatural. I mean, testimonies should be just an everyday thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Like testimonies we had Wednesday night. No deer should ever hit your car if you got God with you. He'll show it before it comes.
Right.
If you listen, God, you know that. You know what I'm telling. You know I'm telling the truth. Many of us got in jams and messes because we didn't listen. We knew after we did it, we knew better. God had warned us along the way. God had told us along the way. He was trying to stop that door from you going through that door. But, you know, you just didn't think the Lord was with you. No, that's the devil. No, that's me. That's religion. There, a lot of times God will stop you if you listen.
Yeah.
Yes.
He'll tell you, it ain't the man to marry.
That's right.
Tell you, that woman ain't as pretty as she is. She may be pretty on the outside, but she's wicked on the inside. Amen. You know, don't you? I ain't even going to go through it. How many times you been married? I had one every time, so I ain't going to go through it no more. If you need counseling, don't go see Brother Brad. How to keep a marriage. Now, he's been on this one a while, and he's getting blessed on it. I think she's a keeper.
Amen.
She's a keeper.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You do something. Yeah, I just bring it on home. You know, you get These are some old sayings. I'm from an old school in a way, but I'm from a new school too. I'm a scribe. It likes the new and the old. Hallelujah. I'm not stuck in the mud.
That's right.
I don't use Bengay anymore. I use that stuff that don't smell anymore. So. Now, I kind of struggle on some of this new stuff. My daughter and my son-in-law brought me some cologne the other day in it. Weird bottles. It said Lucky. What, it had Lucky things on it? Who's that famous man that made this cologne? He decorates all these bottles up. Who is it? Who?
Ed Hardy.
Whoever he is? I said, man, I can't take that stuff. That's like them candles in the grocery store, them Bless Me candles. You light them up and you get blessed. They're in the grocery store. They're in Kroger's. I've seen them. How many of y'all have seen the blessing candles? They're right over there. And you go over there and you light it and the Lord bless your house. I wish it was that easy. I'd have them all over the place. I'd turn off my electricity and I would have me some candlelight. And I'd be blessed all the way to glory. Wouldn't you, Pam? We'd be buying candles every day. It don't work that way. Say it don't work that way. Well, I was going to say, you know, it's the same, you know, when you're dating the women or dating a guy and you kind of miss it, but you date them anyway and you're blind. They say love is blind and you just dated them and you could just eat them up. They were sweet as they could be, that man was. And after you got married, you wish you had ate them up. That's what happens when you ain't got God in the boat. Hey. And your journey with you.
That's right.
Number three. If you're going to be anchored in the storm, make sure that you don't interpret inactivity for in sin. Yeah, that is. I knew I was going to have trouble with that. Don't interpret that God doesn't care for you. When he really does. Don't interpret when there's nothing going on that God does not care for you. That's a biggie. I don't see nothing. 15 minutes, you just prayed and you were in the turmoil and Lord help me. And 15 minutes later, because you don't see nothing, you say, well, Lord, you don't care for me. You're not active in my life anymore. Listen, this is a biggie to you, faith people. There's a lot of times in our life that God cannot do anything because we ain't got our act together yet. See, some people think God's going to show up and get your life together. He's going to do it all for you. That's what we taught. Just get Jesus, that's all you need. You don't need no Bible. You don't need to live right. You don't need to study. You don't need to be accountable. You don't need to... You know, you don't need to go to church. You can just get Jesus and you can be a Jesus freak. Yeah, we met some of those Jesus freaks. Where are they at today? Some of them smoke so much weed, they don't know Jesus no more. They can't even spell Jesus. Jesus ain't all you need. Fell off, huh? That's called the viper. It shouldn't be doing that. All right, got it. Jesus is not all you need. You need the Word of God in your life.
That's right.
And you need to do what you supposed to do.
Right.
Verse 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so it was full now. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
Yes.
How many of us have ever felt that way? Master, don't you care about me anymore?
Yeah.
Where are you at, Lord?
Amen.
You're not in the boat with me? Help! Help! Beam me up, Scotty. Help me. Get me out of this mess. And the Lord's still asleep in your boat.
Yeah.
Some of you may be in that breakthrough because your Lord is still asleep. At least he's in the boat with you. But he's asleep. Say he's asleep. The disciples were more fearful of their perishing than they were that God's in the boat with them. They were more concerned about perishing than realizing who they had in the boat. Jesus was in the boat. And Jesus said, "We're going over to the other side." Amen. We get in a jam, we don't see nothing, we always question God. "Where are you, God? What you doing, God? What's going on, God? What have I done, God? You close the money bank up on me, Lord." I told the church the other week, ain't no money left this planet. In all this recession, no money has left this planet. So don't get worried. There's money out there. They didn't burn it up. It's still on the planet. It's just changing. And guess what? It's coming my way. Coming my way. Habakkuk says, while the shaking's here, he's filling his house with his glory. And I'm his house, this is the house, and he's filling it with his glory. Amen. Amen. It may be that God is waiting on you to get some things in order. You know, kingdom, we know a lot about church. The church, the brick, the mortar. We changed, I mean, church has changed so much in 30 years. It's what we call rules and regulations and what we do in church. I mean, my grandpa, my mom and daddy would never dream that you would have church and stop and have a coffee break in the midst of worship and come back and worship God. When they got in the house of God, the only thing that was on their mind was to worship God.
Amen.
They worked all week.
Yes, sir.
They had nothing. So when they got to church, the only peace they had in their mind was just sitting in the midst of God.
Amen.
Things have happened and changed so much, it's just about ridiculous. Church is about those things. But there's a kingdom. Church is about rules and regulation. Kingdom is about order. See, the kingdom was here before the church was.
Yes,
the kingdom of God.
Yes,
if there was no church here, there still is a God who has a kingdom. And there's order in that kingdom. There's things God requires of us before He will get involved in our lives. See, we don't want to say nothing like that, because if we say something like that, we lose. People are not going to come to my church unless I have Starbucks coffee and I tell them a good story and I tickle their ears and you know, let them go on to hell regardless and bless them and just tell them, "You all right? You ain't all right. I ain't all right. There's a storm in the world." Jesus was in the boat with them. And he was waiting. He'd already known, "We're going to make it." He's God. He's the Word. He knew he'd go. Nothing. If he hadn't gave his life up, then nothing could have took his life. He wasn't worried about it. He could walk on the water, in other words. If the boat went down, he was safe. But none of his disciples knew that. Jesus was with them, but he was asleep on the boat. Your Lord may be asleep because he's waiting on you to get some things in order. Turn with me. I want you to turn with me to this one. John chapter 11. This will open your eyes, faith people. There is order about faith. It ain't just whining, crying, moaning, and groaning, and foaming at the mouth, or whatever we want to do, and run around the church, and then we don't get our life in order. Listen, it ain't going to work till you start taking the first step yourself. Lord, will you help my marriage? And you don't make a step to help it yourself. How about some roses?
Come on.
How about some of the women look like, you know, put some makeup on when your wife, a husband comes home. Don't just get out of bed when he walk in the door and smell like you've been in the bed all day long. Hair messed up. Brush your teeth when you say hello. order. Nah, we're gonna have a marriage made in heaven. Yeah, that's where lightning and thunder come from. You gotta do some things. Get your life in. We gotta get our act together. Up in this place. You can't be fornicating, living like the devil, and come in the house of God and expect God to bail you out of a crisis. You can't be cussing and a smoking and a doping and run in here and wallow on the floor and turn around and say, well, the Lord's going to take care of me. Who are you fooling? You got to take care of yourself.
That's right.
He's working with us, not for us. Mark says, and they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming his words with signs following.
Amen.
Is your Lord asleep? It might be because he's waiting on you to get your act together. Look here in John chapter 11. Let's start with verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in him. He just got news that Lazarus, his best friend, had died. John chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone.
Yeah.
Watch this now. Jesus said, you're going to have to do something if you want me to do something.
Yeah.
See, when Jesus arose, the stone was rolled away. Now he tells them, you got to remove this obstacle. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to the Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. You know, if she'd really been a faith person, she wouldn't have rolled the stone over there in the first place. That's another story. Amen. Verse 40, Jesus saying to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Well, why didn't the Lord loose him? Why didn't the Lord roll the stone away? He could walk through walls. He could do mighty acts. He did all kind of stuff, heal the people. Why didn't he just say, wiggle his nose? No. Whoop. That's what we got a view of the Lord, like a genie. He goes, rub him up. Now do it for me, Lord. Poof! It don't work that way, friend. You have order. You have to have order in your. You have to move towards God. You have to. He didn't raise Lazarus until they moved the stone. They had obstacles in the way. Jesus may be asleep in your boat because you haven't moved the stones away in your life. How about this? Maybe you're talking more about the storm than you're talking about God. That's a rock in your way.
That's right.
Come on, preacher.
That is right.
Good stuff.
See, that's the thing faith people don't like. We talked about it. Talking it. They want the zap.
Come on.
Feel me, thrill me. Stroll it up. Poof! He does it all for me. They don't want to change nothing. Change is a freaky word today, right? Our nation's supposed to be changing. We got to change too. The right way. Say the right way.
Right.
Listen, there's always a requirement for you to do something. Believe it or not. Nothing's free in the kingdom. Nothing comes free. It's amazing. Go to Bible school. You got all them kids out there. All them people going to have a million. They're going to have 1,000 people in their church. And they can't preach out of, get out of a sack yet. Half of those people ain't left the schoolhouse. I mean, how many thousand people still live in Tulsa waiting on God to tell them where to go? Got some from 80, six, 84, 85, 86, some from 2000. They tell us how many thousands of Rhema students still live in Tulsa, still waiting on God to show up in the limousine, to open the door, to put them in the limousine, to have a sign that said, now you're supposed to go to Newnan, Georgia, and start a church. Instead of getting up, walking by faith, and walk towards their goal.
Come on.
What are you doing for your breakthrough? Are you just rubbing up? Are you moving towards your breakthrough? Well, me and Penny had a brain aneurysm, and God healed her. We were stuck with a $65,000 hospital bill with no insurance. And we've been preaching, get out of debt. But here comes a biggie now. $65,000. No insurance. So I go to the hospital. I talk to them, and we set up payments. And we started paying on that. We did something. We made payments. We made one payment and got a letter from the hospital and said they erased all the debt. But we made the payment. We didn't go to the hospital and say, or the makeup of my mind, well, let's let them take it all. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to trust the Lord. Now, I'm preaching now. All right, have I preached, bam?
Yes, sir.
That you got things to do. You got to roll the stones away in your life. Jesus was asleep, and we get to that just to see how far his disciples would take this thing. Any one of them could have did the same thing. They could have said, peace be still. But the Lord stayed asleep until they got some rocks out of the way. Could be you harboring hate in your life. Disgust. Mad at somebody. That's a stone. You got to get those stones out of there if you want Jesus to wake up.
Amen.
You need a miracle. You know how you get your miracle? On the altar.
Amen.
Crying before the Lord. Finding out if there are any obstacles. Why, I guess you think you didn't get yourself in the mess at all. You're like most prisoners in the jailhouse. They never broke the law, but they're in the jailhouse. So none of y'all ever sowed no wild oats and never talked bad about anybody. And you never, oh, you love the Lord with all your heart. Might see you once a month, but you do. Oh, you don't tithe, but you believe in for $1 million. Can I go on? Can I preach a little bit? You want God to love you, but you hate everybody in the church. You won't even talk to nobody. That's a stone, man. You don't get them stones out, you're going to drown in that boat. It's about getting where it's every man for himself these days. You better get your life. You got enough. Me, I got enough working on old Mike. So I ain't got no business casting a stone on Brother Willie or anybody else on this side. I'm working on me. Hey, man, I want Jesus to be awake on my boat. I got somewhere to go. I got something to do. I got some places to build. I got some things I want to do. So why I'm worried about what you're doing? I love you. Help you. You want my opinion? Ask for it. But me run your life? No way, Jose. I know that Mr. Correct-All's around here. Miss Correct-All's around here. Correcting everybody's life when yours is in a mess. You need to work on your own life. You don't ever see me upset until somebody starts working on somebody else's life when theirs in a mess. If you ever see me do that, that means shut up. Got no business. Come on, I'm. Why are you worried about him? Worry about yourself.
Yeah.
Get that rock out of there. Get that thing out of your way so you can walk out free and clear. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Thank you, Jesus. You get frustrated. I'm going to close. Got 11 minutes, 23 seconds. I'm gonna get you out of here. We got party time after a while. Amen. 4th of July. Bam, bam, fireworks. Hallelujah. How many of you grilling out today? Eating a hamburger somewhere? Ain't but three or four of you. All right. It's 4th of July, you know. It's Independence Day. Act like it. Have a good time. Go see some fireworks. Get yourself out of that hole. Get around somebody. Yeah. You might need to witness to somebody. Tell them how good God's been to you. Amen. We get frustrated because ain't nothing happened. Ain't nothing happened because you ain't got your life. You ain't got it right, man. Sleeping around. I'd have forgotten statistics of how many preachers are on pornography every week before they go to preach on Sunday morning. Then I get to church, ain't nothing happening. I don't get the Lord showed up. No, he's just asleep. He waits for you to get off of pornography. Get your life devoted to God. I know it's not popular to talk about holy living. But let me tell you something. There's no more peace. I mean, I'm not perfect. But it brings great peace when you deny some things that you know you ought not be doing. There's just something to high about that thing. It just, when you quit doing something you know you're not supposed to be doing, there's an elevation in your life. Amen. And all of us need to work on something. Amen. Get that rock out. Turn and tell somebody, you better move that rock. Hey! Hey! Number 4. I ain't got but one more after this. 4th thing will help you be anchored in the storm is to know when the storm arose, he arose. Let me put it in the present tense. When the storm arises, he arises. Verse 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind. Verse 39 says, and he arose. I figured you'd get all excited about that. But listen, when something arises in a child of God's life, God sticks his head up. He's a good father, man. If something's going on in my kid's house, daddy's involved. If I know about it. I mean, if I know about it. My son-in-law sitting here. I mean, I love him. He plays his drums well, and he's a great golfer. But if he puts his hand on my daughter, other than the lover, Papa, Daddy, it's going to show up at the house. And it won't be nice. I ain't coming as no preacher. I'm coming as a daddy. When something breaks out in your life that's not right from the devil, God sticks his head up. He takes notice of your storm, your adversity, your pain. He never sleeps and never slumbers. Hey, listen. Oh, this you got shout shoes on? Verse 37 says the storm arose. The Greek word there, the Greek meaning for the word arose, it means it came into existence. That storm just popped up on them. Anybody ever been out and the storm just all of a sudden blew up? Yeah. Happened to me in Kedron Lake in Peachtree City. It just blew up. Well, I was catching fish, I say. It blew up. I mean, I had great warning, but I was catching fish. Yeah. Before I know it, lightning was popping all over that lake. And so I had to pull under the bridge in Peachtree City there at Kedron. And my wife was calling, and there's a tornado on the way. And here I am under the bridge. And my wife is going up and down over the bridge, not knowing I'm under the bridge. So I commenced after a while to go put that dang, that little old motor in whatever it was in and take a crawl. And that sucker was popping. Pow, pow, pow. So I pull off to the side, and I can't swim. Because it was ungodly in my day to learn to swim. Mixed bathing. So I thought, I was at the end. I got off on the side. I thought, man, this thing going to be deep. And I step off that thing. I got my cell phone on and everything. I go completely under the water. It's about 6 foot deep, 7. I fight my way out of that. I run through the woods. I can't call my phone. Penny's done called the law. Am I telling the truth? She done called the sheriff, go check on my husband. He's on the lake over there somewhere. And they said, well, if he don't come home by dark, we'll go check on him. I pull up in the driveway soaking wet. My phone is gone. Penny's at the door. And she just, hallelujah, you made it home. Out on the storm too late. Wasn't paying no attention. It arose real quick. But here's the shouting shoes thing. But the word arose in verse 39 when it said Jesus arose is a Greek word that means to wake up and stimulate one thinking and become stirred. That's what it means. Look it up in the Greek. It means to wake up, to stimulate one's thinking and become stirred. Hey, it means when something shows up in your life and God arises, He arises stirred. You know what stirred means? Stirred up. That's a country word for us. He stirred up. You better leave him alone. Anybody ever met anybody stirred up? How about women? Your husband ever get stirred up? You know what I mean. I mean, he wakes up alert. I mean, he's ready to whoop somebody. He's ready to put somebody down. Got all stirred up. Look what. He got so stirred up. Verse 39 said, and he arose and rebuked the wind. He just didn't rebuke the circumstance. He rebuked the wind. The cause. He rebuked the cause. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Psalm 68, 1 and 2 said, let God arise. We used to sing that also. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Okay, all right. Be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Listen, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. When God wakes up in your life, when you get all the stone out of the way, get them grave clothes. Oh, I'd spit my teeth out. For all you visitors, that's when I'm the greatest anointed, when my teeth almost come out. If they ever come out, the first one that picks them up will be healed and delivered. And if you put them in your mouth, he'll make you a new man. Marlene, I'm going to see your doctor. Get me some of them things you got in yours. They screw them things up in there. Now where are they at? I know where they're at. Where was I at? Okay, I moved to number five. Close on this. Here it is. Here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing in a nutshell. The storm is not designed to expose your fears, but to reveal your faith. Whatever storm you're going through, it's not designed to make you fearful, but it's designed to reveal your faith. Where are you? Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is that you have no faith? See, here it is. The storm's always about your faith. Your adversity is always about your faith. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work in you. You might be entire, wanting nothing. I'm going to write a book on this. Don't steal my topic. But this is so true here. I need to write this book. It's not about you. It's about your faith. We just can't understand that God doesn't deal with anything in our life but our faith, our belief. Everything else about us, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in His sight. All the works of, that we try to do to coach God, to get God, to stir God, is flesh. But when we rise up in faith, When we have a belief based on God's word.
Yeah.
When God said, I'm going to supply every need.
Everything.
According to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you rise up in that, when you can't pay your bills, and maybe you did some things, repent of it. Just you shouldn't have bought the big screen TV. All right, we know all about that. But when you rise up in faith and you believe and take God at His word with confidence and assurance, and not be moved by your circumstance, then God is obligated not to deny Himself. As long as you talk about the problem, you're going to stay in the problem. But when you begin to talk, take God and put Him in the midst of your problem and tell God how big He is and what He said He would do in the midst of your problem, then your storm will cease. It ain't about making you humble. It ain't about learning you anything. It's all about you agreeing with God. When you agree with God, there's power in agreement. I seen it in my wife's life when she had a brain aneurysm. She stood up in faith. She was laying in that bed. I was crying like a baby. I wasn't doing well. The great faith man had collapsed. I mean, my faith had failed me. I was an emotional wreck. She stood up. She was laying in the bed, but her spirit man stood up and said, "Stop it. Quit that crying. I'm not coming down and be on a ventilator. Don't worry about it. And I'm not leaving this world until I get my stuff. Don't you worry about it." And lo and behold, all the things the doctor said they do with that brain aneurysm. When he got back down, that was supposed to take 4 to 6 hours. She back down a couple hours. They called us from the operating room, said a miracle taking place. They can't find any blood anymore. It all dried up. They sewed her up, sent her down. She came down with no ventilator, stayed in the hospital less than four days a week, missed 2 church services. She's never had another problem, never will have another problem. She led worship today, sitting right there. I'm telling you, it was her faith that made her whole. I don't know how many people died while she was in the hospital. We knew about. And people, my mother dropped dead in my house with the same thing my wife did. But her faith made her whole. That why you're a faith person? Mighty right. I've been this way 30 years. This is faith. You see this church? Debt-free church. $1.5 million. 60 people built. Debt-free. Faith. Faith.
Hallelujah.
It's not about you. Never has been about you. Quit thinking it's about you, you little peeny, whiny little thing. It is not about us. Why do we want to get so involved in our emotions about us? You understand? Your crying and moaning and groaning is not going to do anything but make you sicker. Make you weaker. But when you rise up in the faith of God, when you find in the Scripture what He said you could have and call it out to God, faith arises. And when faith comes out, oh, He comes out with your faith. It's never been about you. Cry your tear, but stop crying one day and say, I'm going to take responsibility for my life. Grow up, walk in faith, and watch God take you to the other side. See, they had a word. God never said go about halfway and a storm come up and turn around. He said, we're going to the other side. It was not in the mind of Jesus at all for a storm to even exist. He was asleep. It's hard to sleep in a storm. Lightning going, wind blowing. The boat, they said, was full of water. How many of you would be asleep? How many of you would say, okay, just drown me? Jesus was full of faith. He'd walk, if the boat went down, He was still floated. faith. It's what you got to believe. If all the missionaries in the world collapse in this troubled time, you got to believe when it's all over said and done, Tim Williams will still be a missionary in Guyana, building a school and a house, regardless of what you face. Because everybody is in a crunch. All the giving's down. Churches are folding up. You know missionary after missionary that's collapsed, went back to work. But you got to have enough faith in you, not in anybody else, but inside of you, that when it all settles down, I shall arrive with victory in my wings. That's what I have to believe. Because they want, they give you, they teach you how to grow churches and how to keep churches. By my goodness, I'm closing. Wasn't long ago, Pam knew somebody had a seminar on how to grow the church was to make cookies and let the people smell the cookies when they walk in the building. It makes them have a sense of come back because of the cookie smell. What happened to the Holy Ghost? So we trading the Holy Ghost for cookie smell. It'll be over here before I do that. We cook. Lord, we may have cookies next week, but it won't be to get you here. I trust the Lord to bring whoever's supposed to be here in this house, regardless if it ain't nobody but me and Penny. We're going to sustain ourselves. The Lord's going to watch over us because we are people of faith. I ain't got nothing else to preach. So don't think I'm going to preach something else. Give in to adversity. You don't think I want to quit sometimes along the way, give up, cave in when we couldn't make no payments? Yes. But I've been in so long to know I couldn't. Where am I going? Who wants an ex-faith preacher? An ex-convict's okay. But ex-faith preacher? Well, I thought God was going to meet my need, but He didn't, so I just quit. Ex-faith preacher. I took the advice of my mama. I got my six-pack of Pepsi and moved to Florida. Because He ain't doing nothing right in my life. It ain't working out for me. Oh, you could squeeze me. You could put me in a boil of oil. You could mash me, shoot me. You never get me to say, it ain't working for me. Because God doing some things, I don't know, even this moment, He's working out something good for Mike. And I don't care where you find yourself to be, God is working in the midnight to bring it to pass. How many of you going to the other side? We are going to the other side. So if you ride with me, we ain't turning around in the midst of the storm. I took my wife some crazy places because I'm hard-headed. I took her into I placed it, wisdom. Oh, I'm getting myself in trouble. Wisdom is a principal thing. Wisdom will keep you out of trouble. Yes, sir. But sometimes you just, if you're really, really destined to go somewhere, you got to go through it. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to. I've been down in the drug infested areas. Took my wife down there to get somebody out of a trench. Wasn't a place to be. Lock all the doors. There's people everywhere. But I had to go to get somebody resurrected. Get somebody up out of the pit. If God's with you,
yes, sir.
You got the majority. We're going. Let's stand.
Yes.
I'm telling you. You can make it. Listen to me. Every one of you, listen.